Hey everybody, welcome to episode 111 of Eat, Drink, Write, an Urban Fantasy Whiteboard.
I feel
I'm
like it's,
Sherry.
I'm Taylor, and I feel like it's episode 1.3, like we are starting for the third time.
I know.
Yeah,
Season three, episode one.
there you go. There you go. I like that. We can go with that.
Okay, we'll do that. Season three, episode one of Eat, Drink, Write, an Urban Fantasy Whiteboard. We're going to talk about plot holes today, basically on how to find them. And we've got another episode coming up later on how to fix them. But it's been a while. So how about we update you guys on what's been going on?
It's been a while. I think that's an understatement.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we tried to come back in 2023 in January. It was about a year ago, almost to the date. But my dad had died and we were trying to deal with his estate and you were getting married
I
and
got
you were having
married.
to plan the marriage thing. And
Yep.
it was just too much. So we took the rest of the year off and now we're back.
And we're back. I think I texted you, a couple weeks ago, and I was like, you know what? I have the podcast itch. I miss talking about writing with you. I miss, having this format of like getting to chat with you every once in a while. So
I know. I love it too. I love it too. I've missed it a lot. And honestly, you can tell because I haven't written much. We did have our writing trip last year.
Oh, we did. Yeah, we did.
And I got a lot done on freaking fairies that year. You guys, she taught me how to, when she always talks about rewriting her books, and I'm like, my God, that's just horrible. How do you rewrite? How do you remember? And she's like, no, I don't rewrite without looking at the manuscript. I have that last manuscript pulled up like on a split screen, and then I'll keep what's good and take out. And I was like, oh, well, let me try that. And you guys, it works beautifully. I got so much done on that writing trip. And we were up in the mountains in North Carolina, and we had a bear come visit us.
Which mom thought was a dog.
I did. Oh, cute dog. And Taylor's like,
Not a
no.
dog.
Let's not go pet that quote dog.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think it was, we had pizza. We had ordered pizza and we're sitting outside chatting about writing and stuff. And mom looks over my shoulder and was like, oh, what kind of dog is that? And I was like, nope, not a dog. Not at all.
And it looked like it was a baby.
He
And
was
so
young. Yeah.
mama had to be somewhere. And so we're like, we need to move this pizza inside. And so we did. But it was a really good weekend. And we're going to do that again this year. And I'm really excited because I haven't written since then.
Yeah. No, it's insane. I remember you got a lot done on that trip.
I did.
And I think it's just funny because we've talked for years and years and years about how, oh, I rewrite my books. Oh, I got to rewrite my book. I'm going to rewrite it again, like that kind of stuff. And really, I think, instead of, well, sometimes it's a full rewrite where I actually am rewriting the book, but a lot of the time it's also revisions where I get to go through and just comb through for revisions and edits. But I do actually rewrite the whole book, usually after the first draft. So,
yeah. And in my mind, that was not, I understood it as if, okay, she put that one aside, threw it away, and started from scratch.
No way.
And I'm like, how do you do that? There is no way I could do that.
Yeah, no way,
So,
no way. Me neither. Me neither.
right. So now I understand and it works beautifully. So that is now my revision technique as well.
Oh, it's great. It's really awesome. Yeah. And it's actually a really good way to go through and actually find plot holes, which we're talking about
It
today.
is. It is. So what is a plot hole? Oh, goodness, excuse me. What is a plot hole? A plot hole is an inconsistency or gap in the story or in the characters of a novel. Plot holes are caused by any number of reasons, but one of the most common reasons, which I am guilty of, is because you've put down your manuscript and you don't remember all the details.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it's super hard. Say you've gotten 50,000 words into your manuscript. To sit down and reread 50,000 words is going to not, it's impossible if you only have a set time to write. So you do forget the details. But I guarantee it, your reader is going to see them. So
yeah,
you've
for
got
sure.
to be able to find them for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I've seen like posts and writing groups and stuff that I'm in, and gone to conferences like Dragon Con or like the writing conference that we did in Atlanta, where you hear about this kind of thing from authors where they have to go back and reread their earlier books just because they don't remember any of it. They don't want to write a new plot hole into the book that they're currently writing. I think Cresley Cole rereads her books all the time just to avoid plot holes because hers are so intricately woven. And I know Patricia Briggs does it too because she mentioned it once at Dragon Con.
Yeah,
So.
I mean, can you imagine having a series and you're on book five of the series and you're like, now what did I have happen in book one? So
Right. Yeah.
yeah, I imagine, forget just having to read 50,000 words. You're having to read three or four books to try to
Well,
figure
right.
out, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So it can be, these plot holes can be something very simple, like a detail, like she has blue eyes in one scene and then maybe green eyes in the next scene.
Right.
Or it could be something really intricate as having somebody end up being the bad guy that you had already written details that ruled him out.
Yeah.
Sometimes, especially with pantsters, when you get towards the end and you're like, oh my God, this is, I'm changing it.
That
This is going to be the
epiphany.
bad guy. Yeah, that epiphany comes in, and but it could be you had already ruled him out with the clues and stuff that you've, put into the book. So,
Right,
yeah.
right. Yeah. And I mean, the first thing that I think of, which we've done an episode on and we talk about all the time, is writing journals.
Yes.
And again, those don't have to be like physical paper journals or whatever, but you can have like a digital writing journal or
Yeah.
whatever to keep all of those details in to keep track of them.
Or you can use a beautiful one like you got me for Christmas.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, gosh,
I
y'all. She got me a really beautiful one, and I can't wait to start using it.
Yeah, it was I think leather bound with the Tree of Life on the front.
My issue is I can't read my own handwriting, so I've
Oh, that's
got to
true.
be careful when I
Well, maybe
write,
it'll make you slow down a little bit as you write and
which
think
I
about
need to
details
do.
and stuff.
Yeah,
So,
you need to
yeah.
do that. When I'm typing and actually writing the book, it's my fingers that are writing the book. My brain cannot, I mean, it's my fingers, I swear. That's where the writing comes from because my brain does not work that fast. And
Yeah.
yet all this stuff is coming out and I'm going, wow, I didn't know that was going to happen.
I do that too. I do a lot of that too. I do a lot of plotting. I am a plotter, for the most part, plotster, I suppose, somewhere in between.
Yeah.
But I can feel it in my head, like as I'm writing things, and typing things out. And I really enjoy handwriting stuff because it does make me slow down,
You
and
said, and
actually think about the scene that I'm writing.
I think I'm going to try to use that beautiful journal you got me to do that with because it
Yeah.
will help me actually think instead of letting my fingers run away with me.
Right. Yeah.
But a plot hole is basically that unexplained gap or inconsistency in a storyline that contradicts the logic of the plot.
Right.
And so you're too deep into it to find them a lot of times.
Yeah, too
And
close
so,
to it, for
yeah.
sure.
So there are types of plot holes. So you have factual errors. So like you have a character having the blonde hair and then suddenly she has brown hair. Or maybe you had a wall color as blue and then suddenly it's pink, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I definitely do these kinds of errors a lot in my first draft, and then upon rewrite, I'll find them. Or as I'm like, I'll put the book down for, a couple weeks, a month or something like that, and then come back to it with like fresher eyes, and I'm like, wait a second, like I said he had dark eyes and now he's got like bright blue eyes, and like that doesn't work.
Yeah, that you are looking for impossible or unbelievable events, in this type of factual error.
Yeah.
Like in your magical system, which since we write fantasy, that, if the system doesn't work in water and then suddenly you have someone solve something by doing magic in water, that's a problem.
Right. Yeah. And magical systems are like super tricky because of this. I know we've done an episode or a couple. It's been too long.
It has been
Maybe
too
just
long.
one. But maybe we should revisit it if we haven't done more than one. Because I know that can be such a big issue where, like you were saying with the epiphany at the end, like, oh, this can happen. The same thing can happen with magical systems because you're like, oh, I can solve it with this special spell that can do blah blah blah. But in chapter one, you said it can't do that. Something like that. So I can see that happening a lot.
And or this is another one that I'm really bad at. Someone gets hurt
Yeah.
and you forget, and so you have them doing something where the reader's going, I thought they had a broken hand. How are they,
Oh.
doing this? How are they climbing a rock cliff face with a broken hand? You
Right.
got to remember or at least explain away that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then there's also another type of plot hole is unbelievable character choices. And this one
Oh,
is actually a pet peeve of
I
mine.
know.
I hate this. I can't stand it when a character acts out of character. Like they'll be level-headed and calm and, in the most extraordinary circumstances, and you're like, yes, this is a calm person. They're always, and then all of a sudden they act irrationally and unrealistically, and you're like, they would not have done that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it can happen, but like you said, on your previous point, like there needs to be an explanation. Like, 'cause calm people can explode, and a lot of the time that's really good for characterization.
And calm people also tend to internalize, so they
Right.
have, it is perfectly normal that they might hit that point, that pressure point that just causes them to explode. But
Yeah.
I feel like you said, that's explainable. Whereas, I mean, I don't can't think of an example right now, but watching TV shows, I'll get really into the character and then they'll have them do something. And I'm like, that character would not do that.
Well, and I'm going to bring up this example because it's funny and it's been a meme for years and years and years. But the Harry Potter movies, where Dumbledore, like his name was put into the Goblet of Fire, and in the book, it's like laid out as Dumbledore calmly asks Harry, like, "Harry, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?" And in the movie, he's like, "Did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?" So it's like, that kind of thing. I could see that being an example of like Dumbledore was this calm, like, let's figure out what the answers are before we jump to conclusions and get angry and all of that. And in the movie, he was just very aggressive, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true. And it bothers me. So
Yeah.
be really careful. Like you, when you do your, you help use all kinds of techniques for characterization and that kind of thing. And you'll have, I can't remember now what it was, but it was like some kind of chart. I think it had to do with conflicts. And
Oh,
so you
yeah.
would have this character, and when they come into conflict. So you've already got in your mind, because of using that technique, how they would act. And so when
Right.
you're looking at those conflicts, you have less, you don't do this kind of error that often that
Right, yeah.
I have seen in your work anyway. But it really does drive me nuts. I really
Yeah, I
can't
know.
stand it.
It's like your biggest complaint about a book or a TV show or whatever. If you have any complaint, I can usually guess what it is beforehand, and it's usually about characterization and character continuity. I mean, it's important. It's an important part of the story, and it can take your reader out of the story, and it
And
just
it
that's
does, because, and my poor husband, because he'll be your
it.
dad, he'll be
Yeah.
sitting there watching the TV show, and I'll go, oh, and I'll turn to him and I'll start ranting and raving about that is not how that would happen. This is what blah blah blah. And he's like, yes, dear, can we watch the show? But it drives me insane.
Yeah.
The other plot hole is unresolved plot lines.
Oh, yeah.
So forgetting, because we weave in, it's not just one plot. The story isn't just A to B and it's
No,
over.
yeah.
It's got all these little plot lines all in
All the
there and
subplots, yeah.
subplots. And if you forget about one and don't tie it up, that your readers are going to be really pissed off.
Yeah. Just like a smidgen.
So you've got to keep track of all your plots, and be sure that you hang, tie them up somehow. I mean, and it could be that that plot line isn't going to be done in this book. It might be done in the next book, but you need to resolve the fact that it's not done, and the reader then knows, oh, this is going to be coming up later.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I agree. And at the same time, because I think about this a lot, because I primarily write series. I don't think I've ever written a book that I
Standalone.
intend to be standalone, right? You should wrap up the main points of the book. Like, there should be a point to book one and there should be a point to book two. And those should definitely be wrapped up completely. And obviously, you're going to have some little threads here and there that go into the later books, like you were saying.
I like the Cressley Cole books because of this. To me,
Yeah.
she is a brilliant writer, and her books are generally romance. So the main plot line is that romance, and that is always resolved in each book. It's the
Yeah,
story of these
exactly.
two, and it's resolved. But meanwhile, you've got all of these intricate things going on in the background. It's the time is coming of the, I can't remember now, it's been so long since I've read,
Yeah.
but there's an event coming in the future, and all of these things are happening, all of
Oh,
these different,
the accession, the
the
ascension, the accession.
ascension, I think
I think it's
so.
one of those.
I think so.
somebody who's read those books is going to be like, no, it's this.
But she does a great job of tying up the romance part, the main plot,
Yeah.
but also letting us know that more is going on and more is coming and that there's possibly a war coming and we can see it, but she doesn't have to tie all that up in a single book.
Right.
And
Well, in
so
my
she does it really well.
she does a fantastic job. And you know, one of my favorite things about having those loose threads in each book is that even though they don't necessarily get resolved in that book, they are important to the current plot. And that's one of my favorite things to, you know, avoid plot holes and to avoid your readers feeling like there wasn't really a purpose to those storylines. I really enjoy when they actually, you know, aid in the main plot.
I think they have to.
Agreed. Yeah, I
I don't
agree.
know that I ever want to say have to because that sounds like it's a rule and rules are always meant to be broken, but
Right.
I think it's a very good rule to start with,
Yeah.
because I hate that too. That's another one of my issues is, well, whatever happened with the bunny rabbit that was supposed to do that we never saw
Right.
the bunny rabbit again.
Exactly.
And so that bunny rabbit needs to come back and somehow be integral into the plot, the main plot somehow. That bunny rabbit
Right.
wasn't just there because it was cute. And I mean, and that's a reason too. You might need a fluffy moment, but
Right.
don't give it a something that the reader wants more of if you're not going to finish it.
Right, for sure. Yeah, I think you, I actually just finished a book of mine. I just finished writing one. And you read it for me.
I
And there
did.
was a subplot in there where you were like, oh, well, you know, this character was there at the beginning, but he never really showed back up again.
Yes.
And I'm really curious as to why. So I have ideas on how to make him
Yes.
more integral to the plot,
Because
because he does show up.
he is going to be important in the later series, but when I
Right.
read it, I was like, that was worthless because you didn't give me anything to let me realize, okay, he's going to be coming back.
Right.
So,
And
yeah.
not even necessarily that, but I feel like it was pretty obvious that I didn't write it in a way that showed he was very important at the
Yeah.
beginning.
Yeah.
And so I definitely need to add in details and some stuff in there to make it, oh, this is why I had him in there. And I can't
Right.
just take him out because that changes the
Yeah,
things
I
that
mean,
happen
he's
later on.
definitely integral to your series, and
Right.
I love that character.
Yeah.
But I felt cheated when I read
Yeah.
it. And I
Fair
even
enough.
knew about that character. I knew basic
Yeah.
plot lines of your
Yeah.
story before I read it, and it still bothered me, even knowing. So, yeah, so that's where are we alpha readers since we're writers too? And then beta readers would be like Sydney, your wife.
I think even if you get another author to read your work, like after someone else has read it and stuff, like I think just because they're a writer doesn't make them automatically an alpha
An
reader.
alpha. Okay.
I think.
I think
I
we
can't
talked about
remember.
this in an episode. We're going to have to go back and listen to our own episodes to catch up on
Yeah,
all
we'll
this
have
stuff.
to fix this plot hole that we're writing into this episode here. But anyway, I think beta readers are really good to catch like issues after it's already been read a couple of times by someone else. So whether they're a writer or not, I think they can still be beta, alpha, whatever
Yeah.
readers.
I really
So.
like using your older sister, Courtney, for that
Yeah.
because she doesn't write, well, she writes scientific stuff,
Science,
but
yeah.
she doesn't really have time to read as much as she would like to. And
Right.
so to get her to, and it's not really the type of book that she would choose to read.
Right.
And so I know when she's reading it, she's going to pick up on anything that's just wacko because
Right.
she is the perfect beta reader to
Yeah, I
me.
really enjoy Sid for that too. And, you know, she has the either the curse or the blessing of a writer as her wife. Because I've taught her tips and tricks about storylines, be it in
Yes.
TV shows or in books and that kind of stuff. So now we'll be watching a TV show and she goes, oh, well, you told me this trick, so I know what's going to happen now. And I was like, yep, sorry. But she's a great beta reader for plot holes and like that kind of stuff because she doesn't think about things, she doesn't break it down like I do in terms of story elements and oh, this
Yeah, I feel
characterization
like
was really good.
you and I are each other's alpha because
Yeah.
we do, and you have to be willing to tell the other person
Yeah,
what you
definitely.
think. And, some friends or, whatever might not be willing to,
Yeah.
but another writer, understands
Absolutely well.
the need. It's not going to hurt my feelings. Please tell me. I don't want to send it off to a publisher with this crucial error in it that I couldn't see myself. So I trust you for that.
Definitely.
And
Yeah, for
then
sure.
Courtney, I love to have her because she's a totally fresh reader. It's totally, she'll, that's totally outside. And Mike doesn't even read my books. So I don't
I
have a
know.
husband who's a beta reader.
Yeah, Sid hasn't read the one that you just read or whatever. And she was like, I'm like the worst wife. Like I haven't read your book. And I was like, I don't care. My mom read it. She's giving me feedback on it. You can read it if you want to. I hate pushing my books on people.
Same,
That's just
same.
like a personal thing. And so she's always like, I just feel so bad. And I'm like, no, go read your dragon books. Like I know those are what you want to read. Go read those.
You know, it's funny. My mom said she will never read my books.
I believe it. Yeah.
Yeah,
Nana
that
is
is
a
not her thing. She likes
yeah.
mystery, crime, that kind of thing.
Thriller type of stuff.
And she's like, even if you get published, I'm not going to read your book. And I'm like, thanks, Mom.
At least my mom reads mine. There's
Yes,
something to
that's true.
that.
That's true. I love your books. You're so good. I
No, I
just,
appreciate it.
you've got to get published. It's just a
Oh,
matter
well,
of time.
I know. I'm kind of working on it. I really need to put more effort into that.
Do you
Anyway,
have
we've
any out submitted?
No,
Yeah, me neither.
I've recently been going through my Louie and Delaney book, which I've talked to you about a little bit. And it's I have cut like 1,000 words from it or something like that are just things like using the word was or just or only. And I've cut like 1,000 words out of it just by fixing my sentence structure and that kind of stuff.
That is my favorite book of yours so far.
Yeah. Well, and I'm making it cleaner. I'd really like to try to get it out. That book really wrote itself, so
Yeah,
the characters are
it was to
insane.
me the very first draft you did was ready to publish. And I understand
Yeah.
that, you know, you've got to clean it up and all of that, but it was brilliantly written the first
It was a
time.
fun one to write. It was a
I
very fun one to
that's
write.
my favorite one of yours.
Well,
But
we've gone on a
back
tangent.
to plot holes. Yes, we tend to do this. The next plot hole is continuity and time, which is another really
Yes.
difficult one. If you have someone walking into a different town and a time frame that isn't possible, that's a problem, especially in fantasy, you
Yeah.
know, where they might be riding horses or they might not have horses and actually be walking, and this town is hundreds of mile away, and
Yeah.
you have them getting there the next day. That isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Or if an object was in a spot and is now in a different spot without explanation, that can be a problem. And then
Oh.
you have a technique that works.
I
You
do this
do
all the time
PowerPoint.
though. Like I do. I use PowerPoint with time and all that kind of stuff. Sorry to interrupt you, by the way. I always catch myself writing like oh, I was at my house and then suddenly at a different character's house. Like I catch myself doing weird scene time jumps. And like you said, I do use PowerPoint to keep track of this, and so I have a slide for each day of the timeline in my novel
Yeah,
and
see, that's brilliant because I write, fall is always the favorite season of mine for some reason in most of my books. And, you know, there are ho holidays in there like Halloween and Thanksgiving and, you know, that kind of thing. And I think Frickin' Fairies takes place within a very short period of time. Like from early fall, I think, through Thanksgiving. I mean, really, and I have to be very careful of how things have to work in that. Another thing that I know I do really badly is I'll have my person sitting at a table and then all of a sudden they're over there walking around or standing up and looking at something. I'm like, how did that happen? And
Yep,
so,
I do that.
yeah, we got to fix those things.
Yeah, for sure. And the PowerPoint thing helps a lot. I actually use I got Plotter for Christmas.
Yes.
You and my wife both had the same brain thought and
Yep.
both got me Plotter and
Great minds think alike.
yeah, 'cause I think the last time we recorded I was talking about it and it was just out of my price range to work with and so I guess you guys kept that little nugget in your
We
brains and got
did.
it for me for Christmas and it's great. I love it for the timeline thing. I get to keep track of what's happening in what chapter. And that kind of stuff. I am going to continue using PowerPoint though for like my day by day timeline, because from what I've explored in Plotter so far, and maybe there's a template in there that I haven't found yet, I can't actually track like the timing of the timeline.
Really?
I can track the chapter by chapter timeline, so events that happen in this chapter, but I can't track like the day by day timeline. So like my character
Interesting.
went to sleep and woke up on Sunday. You know, I don't, I haven't found in plot, and granted, I haven't played with it enough. I've played with it a little bit, and I've started my
Yeah.
plots and stuff.
I'm very excited to hear how it goes so I know if that's the program that I want to do because we write very differently.
Yes, yeah, we do.
And so what works for you may not work for me. But
That's
it
true.
sounds great because you said there's color coding, which I am very color visually oriented.
Yes, it's really great for color coding and keeping your plots color coded. And so in a chapter, you can see, oh, it's got a lot of red in it. There's a lot of this subplot in this chapter. Maybe I should
See,
spread that out a little bit.
that would also help you find those ones that you accidentally drop and don't finish.
Yes, exactly.
So that sounds like a really great program. I would love to
Yeah.
hear what our listeners use
Yeah,
because
for
I
sure.
really do want to have help organizing and be less of a panster. When you're a panster, the revision time is so much longer
Yeah,
because
I could see
you
that.
have so much things that are wrong with it. And so if I could plot just a little bit more, it would be very helpful.
Yeah, I don't remember if I had this the last time we recorded, but I gathered a bunch of different plotting formulas from the
Okay.
internet, just in
Oh,
general,
neat. Okay.
and made a PowerPoint presentation out of them.
Okay.
So I'll send that to you.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're allowed to put it on
That's
Patreon.
what
I
I was
don't.
just wondering. I wonder if we could share that.
Yeah, I give credit to all of the
I
people
think
who came
so.
up with them. So I just made it into a PowerPoint so that I had all of those formulas handy for me for when I
Oh,
start
yeah.
plotting a book or
Send
whatever.
that to me for sure.
Okay.
And I'll
Yeah,
see
we'll
if I
do.
can figure out a way to share it with our people.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
The next plot hole type is antagonistic issues. It is so tempting when you have a bad guy to make him just really evil because you want your audience to really hate him.
Yeah.
And to have him be one dimensional is not always a good idea.
Right. Yeah. Well, it can work, I feel like. You know, we don't need our readers to have like a bleeding heart for every bad guy ever written or whatever.
True.
But at the same time, like, I don't think making your character, you know, they still don't need to be one-dimensional. Whether you want your
Right.
readers to have a bleeding heart for them or not, they don't need to be one-dimensional either way. There needs to be some background and some
Depth.
history, and it's like, ooh, like I get, you know, he had a hard upbringing, but also that doesn't excuse blah 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 blah.
Right.
So you know, I see that, like, definitely don't make your bad guys one-dimensional. That's an easy plot hole to fall into, I feel like.
Yeah, I think so too, because you really want him to be evil. I in my very first book that I wrote, the Twin
The
Saga.
twins one, yeah.
Yeah, I really, well, there's a reason I had issues.
It
And
was
I don't
so
know that I
cool
want to.
though. I
Yeah.
know. I'm not gonna spoil
I
anything because I
know.
know you want to rework that one, but it actually was very good. The concept behind it was very cool, and there was a reason that you did have one
One
dimensional characters.
dimensional. But I'm
And that's all I'll say
afraid.
about
I
it.
know, I'm just afraid that my readers are going to be like, I hate these people.
Well, and they might,
But
but
I can figure out a way to work on that.
yes.
But yeah, so sometimes there is, you know, there's never a hard and fast rule.
Right.
Sometimes you have one-dimensional characters on purpose. Just you don't want to have it all the time.
Right.
Let's put it that way. And the other thing with antagonists is cliche motivations.
Yeah. Which I
You
think we
know,
did some episodes on like various cliche topics and stuff.
I
We could
think
do one on
so.
those
But
if
yeah,
we
so
haven't already.
don't go with those regular tropes unless you spin them up somehow.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and then so how do you go about finding these plot holes? Now we know what they are. How do we find them?
Yeah.
And then often it's your beta reader that catches them.
Yeah, which we talked about a little bit already.
Yeah.
But they're just super important to have in general, just because they can find these plot holes. They can find like, oh, she was sitting down here, but you have her like up and looking at whatever over here. And that just, caught me off guard or whatever.
I remember at Dragon Con, Patricia Briggs said that she had had a book that had already gone to the publisher, and or it might have, I don't
The
know, she
editor or
thought she
whatever.
was done. Somebody found a plot hole, and she's like, well, crap. And she had to go back, and it was delayed in being published because they found this plot hole that she had to fix, and she didn't even know it was there. She, so that even fantastic, wonderful, well-published,
Wild.
authors deal with this issue.
Definitely.
But if you don't want to wait until you finished your whole first draft to catch a plot hole, you can reread your manuscript, taking notes as you go. There is an argument out there that says you actually shouldn't worry about plot holes in your first draft, that the goal is to get that story down and that you can deal with plot holes in your editing phase.
Yeah, I've heard that too. I everywhere you look for writing advice is don't go and reread everything that you've written because it's much harder to continue. Like, you're spending your 30 minutes rereading instead of your 30 minutes writing
Writing.
new words. But that said, it bothers me. Like, if I don't reread what I wrote before, and I don't reread the whole book a lot of the times, especially like earlier you were talking about having 50,000 words or whatever. I don't reread the whole 50,000 words, but I'll read like the previous 1,000 words just to get back into where I was, what I was writing, what's coming next.
I
And
do
I
that
will suggest
too.
doing that.
And I actually am a rewriter as I write, which they say not to do.
Well, it's the same thing. Like, you're not writing new words, you're focusing on, stuff that's already,
But if I can make it better, I don't know. Plus, it gets me back into the depths of my book by doing that. And so then I am, when I am ready to write my 30 minutes, I'm already in there. I know what's going on. And, I sometimes do have to reread the whole thing because, like, I haven't worked on Frickin' Fairies since last March. So I am going to have to start from the very beginning because sometimes I don't even remember the characters' names. I'm like, what was her love interest? What was his name? I mean, and that's so bad. So I will probably spend a lot of our writing trip this time getting back into that book, or maybe I can do it before we go.
That
If
would
I
be
can
good.
start
Just
rereading
do
before we
what you did
go.
for reading my book and just read when you go to bed.
That's true.
And then that way you can just jump into writing it when we go on our writing trip. Because that would be nice. But yeah, no, I reread my stuff all the time, and it's honestly it's a bad habit because I can almost physically see that I am not getting new words on the paper because I am just rereading my old stuff. And I can physically see, I guess there's a word count in the bottom left of the Word document, but I do it all the time. It's a really bad habit. But at the same time, like, I'll finish a draft of something and then I can't quite picture it until I reread it. And then I can see all the things that need to be done with it.
All at one time. Yeah, I think something that might help with this and not having to reread so much would be as you write each chapter, make a detailed notes on what happens in each chapter so that you can go back and just do a quick glance on each chapter and then be ready to write. Maybe read the last chapter or something before.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree. I think that's a great idea is writing down all the details of, all of the stuff that you've written. I'm actually doing it right now. I was telling you I was rereading Louie and Delaney to clean it up. And in Plotter, as I go, I'm writing down each chapter and each scene in the chapter and the characters that pop up in those chapters and the scenes that I have and that kind of stuff. I'm organizing it all in Plotter since I'm rereading it anyway.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And so I was going to mention it before, but that's another thing that I really enjoy about Plotter is like I've already finished Louie and Delaney. It doesn't need to be plotted. But I am enjoying putting it into Plotter so that I can visualize it in a way that I haven't before, the way that I didn't get to when I was writing it the first
Have you
time.
gotten it all in it yet or not?
What do you mean?
Have you gotten all of Louis and Delaney into Plotter yet? You're still
About
working on it
half.
or?
Yeah, about half of it. Because I'm editing as I go. I'm reworking sentence structures and taking out the was's and the were's and all of that. And that is taking so much time. So,
Yeah, I do that. I'm horrible at that. I was just wondering if you had noticed, like with the subplots showing up, have you? I mean, I can't wait to, I might have to get Plotter too because I just
Yeah, it's very cool. I am noticing with subplots and stuff where they, especially since, my God, I need to finish a sentence
We're
before I start a
writers.
new one.
Hey.
I have noticed as I've been writing my subplots, the frequency, I guess, with which they come out in my chapters, especially because I switch point of view between Louis
Yes.
and Delaney from chapter to chapter. And so it's cool to get to see the subplots that pop in and where they actually weave together, even though,
I
they were
love it.
initially very separate. So plotter is really great for that kind of stuff. And I think it is going to help me with like plot holes and stuff in the future because I'm plotting the second book of the book that you just read. God. I'm on my second cup of caffeine, you guys. I'm trying to wake up a little bit.
Yeah, we're doing this in the morning. We're try Okay, so off topic for just a minute. We're gonna try to probably do episodes every other week.
Yeah, we can talk about that at the end too.
Yeah,
But
just so
yeah.
you know. But yeah, so this today we're first thing in the morning, so we're not having any kind of drink, no alcohol this morning. I'm drinking
No.
tea, you're drinking tea.
I'm also drinking tea.
So yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
But okay, where did we leave off?
We are so bad at tangents.
I know.
Anyway, I'm plotting Louis and Delaney as I go in plotter right
Oh
now
yeah.
to keep track of the detailed notes and the characters and stuff that I have so I can avoid these
Having to
continuity
reread.
issues.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, my problem is that I mean, I think every writer's problem is, unless you're doing it full time as your real job, there isn't time. And so, like
Yeah.
you said, you don't want to waste that precious time that you have to get new words down.
Exactly, yeah.
But, you know, and another thing, when we get too close to a story, we read what we think it says,
Yeah.
not what it actually says. And
All the time.
that is also a plot hole because in
All the
our minds,
time.
we know what it said. And then our reader's going, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely been stuff that you've pointed out in the past in my books where you're like, I thought she was doing this. But you said later she was doing this, and I read over that scene and I'm like, oh, she was doing what I thought she was doing the whole time, like, because I can see it in my head.
You know, in your head, her the picture of her, like I see my books when I'm writing as movies in my head as I'm
Yeah, me
writing.
too.
And so I'm seeing her there, but
Right, doing what
it's
I think I wrote she was doing.
And then another way to keep from rereading and to help find plot holes is to write a very simplified plot line so that you know
Yes.
what the plots are supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Usually after I finish a book, I don't think I've done it before while plotting a book. But after I finish a book, I'll go through and write a one sentence summary of each of my chapters so that I have an idea of, what was the one, what was the purpose of the chapter? But two, does it fit well with all of the other chapters?
One sentence?
One sentence. I know
That's
it's a lot.
hard.
Yeah, but it forces you to, like you said, simplify your plot line so that you can be like, okay, this was what I was doing with this chapter, and I needed this chapter because down the road this happens, and you can avoid those plot holes of like, well, I had this chapter, but I kind of left it hanging and I didn't really do anything with it, kind of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so once you've laid out the basics of your plot, then you have to look over it with, you know, scrutiny.
Yes.
Does the plot actually make sense? Does it flow logically from one event to the other? Which I think plotter probably helps you do.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there any gaps or leaps that could be construed as plot holes? I mean, is it a lot of times we know the backstory,
Yeah,
but
right.
it doesn't have to come out in the book, but it's important for
Exactly.
us as the author to know. And sometimes because we know that, we write things and our reader won't understand how that works because they don't know the backstory.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, do any aspects of your plot contradict each other? Is every
Yeah.
question that you, sorry?
No, I was just going to say, I use you for all of this. Like all of these
Yeah.
questions that you're asking, I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
I need mom to read my book for me to tell me these
Same,
things.
for sure. You know, every question that you've brought up in your novel, is it answered? Or like we talked about subplots, not just petering out. You know, have you
Right.
tied it up or at least given the reader some kind of satisfaction that, oh, this is going to be important later?
Right.
And it's very it's hard. It's hard. But like you, I'm trying to think if I've ever had written a book that I expected to just be a standalone, and I don't think I have.
I haven't
So
either.
I've always got loose ends that I know are going to come back up in later series, which, that's a different topic when you're talking about writing and series and plot holes in series.
Yeah, for sure. We should do an episode on
We
that.
should. We should. Are your characters' actions happening simply because they need to for the plot to unfold, or are there other logical reasons behind every event you have? And there are some fluff can be there. What
I
is
would
the
argue it
term?
shouldn't be.
Do what?
I would argue that there shouldn't be any fluff. I think everything in your novel needs to have a purpose. And whether
What's
that purpose is to create comedic relief or to
Yes,
create,
that's what I mean by there can be fluff, but it needs to have a reason for why it's there. It could even be the fluff might seem like fluff, but really it's symbology to this bunny rabbit's blue or whatever it is to bring in something. But I agree with you. You're right that everything needs to have, there shouldn't be anything extraneous, is that the right word, in your novel? Yeah. So stripping back your plot to the basics can help you spot issues that you might not have been aware of before.
Yeah, for sure.
And then you can also create and cross-check a glossary of characters and world-building events. I think this is a really good idea, but it's more of a plotter person than it is a
Yeah,
pantser
it is,
person. But I
for
think
sure.
that's a great idea because I am one of those peoples that peoples. I'm one of those peoples that is, were her eyes blue or were they green? And
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know that it is just a plotter thing. I think you have very you specifically, you have very cool ideas for what you want your character to look like, and you have your Pinterest boards with
I
pictures
do.
and that kind of stuff. So I don't think it is just a plotter a plotter thing. I
That's
think
true.
all writers of all types probably do something kind of
In
like this.
fact, that's where I start. Because I am visual. I start on Pinterest with my mood board, basically, for my characters. Once I've got a character talking to me, I start a Pinterest thing so I can start putting pictures in there and her,
I do the same thing. Yeah,
yeah.
for sure.
And that works great. And so that would also help rather than having to actually have a glossary. I have Pinterest boards that I can go, what did she look like? What was her, eye color? What was her style? Was her hair short or long or that
The
kind of
plotter
thing?
program does have you can enter characters in your book and put in details about them and little notes about them and that kind of stuff. And then you can tag that character in a scene within your timeline. So you know, like as you scroll over a scene or you click on a scene, it'll list the characters that are involved in that scene and you can
That's
click
so
on
cool.
those and see their descriptions and all of that kind of stuff. So
May
plotter.
have to get it. May have to get that. But, we had talked a few minutes ago about that chart that you do that cross-references conflicts between characters. I think something similar to that might work for other details that you need to track.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Basic details such as names and ages and physical descriptions, like you were talking about, elements of the backstory that we need to know, but the necess not necessarily our readers. Key personality traits and quirks. I love the quirks. I love quirky characters.
Yeah, you do.
Basic arc of the character, basic arc of the whole story, basic role of that character in that arc of the story,
Absolutely.
and then definitely keep their backstory within reach. And like you said, it sounds like you can actually have it on plotter, and when you hover over their name, it's going to pop up. That's so cool.
It's very cool. I love it.
And the same thing with like world building. You can do that kind of thing as well to help prevent plot holes. And locations visited. And I'm really bad at that. I'm like, what town was it that this happened in? Because they've been to so many.
You can do that in Plotter too.
Really? Cultural aspects. Okay, so in my book with, I don't remember my characters' names, the one that she goes from this world to the other world.
Oh gosh, I know what you're talking about. Kada?
Kata? Kayla? Kata, maybe.
Questionably.
But for her in that world, because she's here, she's one of us. She's millennial in the United States, and she ends up in this entirely fantasy world. And so she's going to all these different places as the story progresses, and they all have different cultural aspects. They all have different religions. All of these things have to be world built. And I have to be able to remember, okay, so that place was this, and this is the piece of information that I needed to come out in that town. And I don't always remember if I don't keep track of it. Political power is really important in that
That's a
book.
big one. Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
Also, the time of day, we talked about timing,
I'm so
but
bad about
I
that
am
sometimes.
too. I'm too. They're eating breakfast and yet it's sunset. So, what's going on? And then magic systems, of course, that one's a biggie. And you probably should have some kind of chart and reference constantly nearby when you're writing
I'm
with
trying
a
to
new
think
magic system.
of what I do, and I think it's very archaic. I write in, I just put it in a Word document, and I have like this 8-page Word document with all of this information,
Yeah.
magic system, what I thought the plot should be, character information, descriptions, et cetera, backstories. And it's like this monster 8, 9, 10 page document that I just keep adding to.
I make new ones, so I'll have plot
Oh
lines, and
God,
then
no, that's
I'll
worse.
say plot lines too, more plot lines.
Oh God,
And so I've got all these different documents, and I have to go and reread. Okay, which one was this one?
No,
So.
I'm definitely guilty of that too. I think so. I've been writing the book that you just read has been a work in progress since I was 18. And for reference, I'm now 30. So I've got folders upon folders in my documents that are just labeled like 8 in 1, 8 in 2, 8 in 3,
Too.
8 in 3
That's
rewrite, 8 in
really
rewrite.
hard. And I'm like, which aid and rewrite is this? Is this the
I
most
know.
current one? Luckily, on the computer, it tells you what the date is of
Oh
the
God,
when you save the document.
No, it's pretty funny. No, I love all of your ideas though. Like, I think it's super important to keep all of these things in check, and I think a good way to do that, like you said, is just writing them down, using charts, use your writing journal, et cetera, et cetera. I know if I ever see plot holes with these things, like the character arcs or world building or like magical systems, if I see plot holes in that, it's usually like a do not finish. I don't finish it. I'll put the book down and I just won't read it anymore.
Oh, interesting.
And I think that's just because I don't have a lot of time to read these days. So if I'm going to read something, I want it to be engaging, and I want it to not, I don't want to be pulled out of the story for something like these things. And I'm not saying that I'm not guilty of having these plot holes myself as a writer, but like we've talked about, beta readers and alpha readers like you are going to help me to eliminate those and hopefully make it as clean as I can. And ideally get picked up by an agent and an editor that would do
That would
that
be
again for me.
wonderful. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this was a pretty good episode. This is a good ending point. We've got to talk about how to fix them now that we know how to find them.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's all we have for today. You can reach us at our website, which is eat.drink.write.podcast. And then the email is also, actually, that was the email, eat.drink.write.podcast@gmail.com. I think, what is our,
Oh God, I don't know. Let
is
me
it eatdrinkwritepodcast.com or is it
I think it might be
edw.com?
EDW
Sorry, guys.
podcast.
It's been a long, long time.
It sure has. Let me see here.
And while she's looking for that, we're going to try to do this every other week on Tuesdays, we think, but we will keep you posted. But we're glad to be back. Thank you all for listening.
Ah, it is eatdrinkwritepodcast.com.
All one word, eat, drink, write,
All one word.
podcast.com.
And then our email is eat.drink.write.podcast
Why
at
did we not
gmail.com.
do eat, drink, write podcast? Anyway, I don't know why we
I'm not
didn't,
sure.
but that's what it is.
Not sure.
So
Couldn't tell you.
we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you guys. And hopefully you're here with us, and maybe we'll get some new listeners, and welcome if we do.
Welcome and welcome back.
Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back.